We want to really focus our prayers on what God is doing around the world. So would you bow with me? Father God, we recognize, God, that you are at work around the world. We thank you, Father, that you're at work in all nations. Lord, we pray for those that are behind enemy lines, those who are being persecuted, the persecuted church around the world. Lord, would you lift them up today as they worship on the Lord's Day, wherever they are, whether they're huddled together around a campfire, whether they're huddled in a secret room somewhere. Lord, would you be with them and encourage them, ignite their soul, and that the saints there, even the martyred saints and those who are being persecuted in jail, Lord, that their fuel would fuel the church in those places. Lord, we thank you that you're working even in those countries where there's persecution. Lord, we pray for our 29 missionaries that we support as Brandywine Valley Baptist Church. Lord, every place that they are, both foreign and domestic soil, Lord, would you bless their ministries? Would you give them encouragement? Lord, would you give them the support, the financial support and prayer support that they need to be out on the front lines with the supplies, with the gospel? Lord, we want to lift up a few particularly. We want to lift up the Mullen family, Lord, to you, serving with Global Service Network. Lord, would you supply their needs according to your riches, Lord, and give them everything that they need to carry out the work of the gospel in their ministry. Lord, we pray for the heads, Lord, who work with World Team as they're in the counseling ministry, counseling missionaries around the world. Lord, what an important need for those who are giving so much of their lives for the sake of the gospel, Lord. Encourage them, lift them up today. We pray, Lord, for the Whittemores with Christstar. And Lord, we pray that as the work among the Muslims continues to grow in places like India and Philippines, Lord, that Christstar and the Whittemores would be encouraged by that. And Lord, you'd supply them on the front lines, Lord. We thank you that you're bringing new ways to reach those that are in the Middle East and in countries where Islam is very present, Lord. Thank you for the dreams and the visions. Thank you for the opening of their eyes to who Christ is, Lord, and the missionaries that are doing work there. Continue that work of the Lord, the work of the Spirit, and how the Spirit is moving in those places, Lord. We pray that we wouldn't just pray for them on Missions Week, Lord, but we would pray for them each week. Bring them to our minds and our hearts as they labor for you. Lord, now as we open up your word, we pray that you would give us a fresh word from Scripture, Lord, that you'd use it to penetrate our hearts, change us because we are under the teaching of your word today, and we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, as I mentioned just now, we are kicking off Missions Week. It's actually Missions 2 weeks. It's this Sunday and then this week, and then it culminates on Sunday next week. I want to give you a little picture of where we're going for Missions Week. We are thrilled and blessed to have Pastor Valik and his wife Natasha from a church in Ukraine that, as you heard Pastor Carl talk about, is a sister church of ours. We've had the privilege of being involved in their church for many years, and they're here, and they have two of their oldest girls. They have six kids in the family, but two of their oldest girls are joining them. This is the first time they're ever on a plane ever in America, so their eyes are wide open to everything. And in fact, they're here right now with us. They came in this past week. And they're downstairs at our 10:30. So hopefully some of you got to see them at 9 o'clock, but they're presenting downstairs in Fellowship Hall right now. And so you'll get a chance to meet them if you haven't already next week. Valik is going to be preaching a message next week, and we're going to have a church that is really another brother and sister church with us called the Ukrainian Evangelical Baptist Church in Crumlin, which is outside of Philadelphia. They're going to be blessing us. They're going to be coming. And the worship choir is going to be leading at the 9 o'clock. Their praise team is going to be leading at the 10:30 service. It's really going to be an amazing time. They just have so much of the Spirit and the love of God with them. And then Pastor Valik will be preaching that message. So you don't want to miss that next week. On Saturday, this Saturday night, as you heard Pastor Carl say, we have a missions dinner. We want to encourage you to be there. The Ukrainian church that we just talked about is preparing the meals for that. So you'll be eating a Ukrainian buffet. I don't even know what that is, but I'm looking forward to finding out. And so it's going to be amazing. part of what we want to do each year for Missions Week is we do something called a faith promise, and it's a gift that we give to a missions organization or a mission overseas. This year, we're giving to a Ukrainian seminary that is associated with Pastor Valak's church. And this this church could really use our funds to continue preaching and teaching there in the seminary, raising up new leaders throughout the Ukraine and Russia. And so we hope that you will consider giving to this. We have somebody who's offered to pledge and match any of the funds that are given. And we have a goal to go up to $10,000, to reach $10,000. So you'd ask that you consider being involved in that, giving a pledge for that. You can use the little giving envelope that is in the pew in front of you and mark it for Faith Promise. You can also do a pledge right out in the gathering area, okay? So that's a little bit about what's happening this week and next week. Don't want to miss it. Now, why do we do Missions Week? Well, really, this is a concentrated effort over this week and next Sunday to really focus our church on the global mission of God. You know, God is at work around the world. And sometimes we just get caught up in our own little world, you know, our own little routines and our own church community and just what's right in front of us. And that can kind of make us a little ethnocentric, a little egocentric, make us a little myopic as we just think of our lives. And we forget that God is not an American, right? God works all over the place. He's not Western, he's not Eastern, he's global, he's universal. He's working all over the world. And so really, with that in mind, our two goals for Mission Week is, one, we want to give you exposure to the mission of God globally. God is working all over the place. He's working in Peru and China and Kenya, and we'll be focused certainly on the Ukraine next week. All right? So we want to broaden our exposure to God's mission around the world. If you all turn around and you look at the flags that are up there, those are just some of the nations that where God is at work and where this church has been involved in serving. God is at work. We want to bring more exposure to God's global mission. The second thing that we want to do for Missions Week, the second goal, is to help us answer a question personally. Answer the question for ourselves, what is my role in the mission of God? What is my personal role in the mission of God? And to answer that question, we first need to answer this question. What is the mission of God? What on earth is God up to? What is God doing here on our planet? Well, there's a lot of ways to talk about the mission of God, but I want to use one sort of definition of the mission of God, the purpose of God here on earth. It's this, is to bring lost sons and daughters throughout the world into an eternally reconciled relationship with himself through Jesus Christ. That's what God's up to. He's bringing lost sons and daughters from around the world, every tribe, culture, nation, ethnic group, throughout history, bringing them together into an eternally reconciled relationship with himself, with God, and he's doing it through the person of Jesus Christ, the person and the work of the gospel. That is what God is up to. 2 Corinthians 5, 18 to 19 really summarizes this well and is a good launching pad to help us understand not only God's mission, but our mission with God. Paul says this to the church. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them, and he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. What we see Paul say here is that God's mission is reconciliation, and guess what? He's enlisted all of us to be part of that ministry of reconciliation around the world. So, what is our role in the mission of God? What is our role? And some of us, when we think of missions, we automatically, our mind goes to, you know, some distant countries, somewhere, you know, off of the Amazon River somewhere, or some hut in remote Africa, somewhere in the bush, right? And we think of missionaries as, you know, these people who you know, are those super select, special people that leave everything behind and go learn a foreign language, and they're, you know, a little weird, maybe. And they're over in those other countries, and maybe we see them once every 10 years or something, right? And that's, in our mind, missions. Well, certainly that's an aspect of missions, but that's really a caricaturization of missions. God is at work everywhere. And our salvation, the moment we come to Christ, is our commission as a missionary. So as soon as you come to Christ, you are enlisted into the mission of God. It's not just those few sort of select people out there who are missionaries. Each of us joins and is called to join the mission of God, regardless of our age and stage of life, whether you're 9 or 90, whether you're a brand new Christian or you're a seasoned vet, right? You've been walking with the Lord for a long time. Whether you're, you know, a student or you're working in a factory or you're working in a cubicle or you're a stay-at-home mom, all of us are called to the mission of God. And it's not just for those who have a squeaky clean track record, right? And dot all their I's and cross all their T's spiritually. But it's for us that, you know, maybe you're broken and have some dysfunction in our lives and have a checkered past, right? God calls all of us to join his mission. So I want us to help us to think about practically what that looks like for us. I want to go to one particular passage. It's just a short two verses from Psalm 67. If you have your Bibles, go ahead and turn there. Go ahead and turn to Psalm 67. You can use the Bible in front of you in the pew if you want. If you didn't bring yours, we'll also have it up on the screen. And just in these short two verses, we see a very powerful, important principle that helps bring this elusive idea of the mission of God into some very practical and tangible terms, I believe, for us today. Psalm 67, the psalmist says this, verse 1. May God be gracious to us. May he bless us. May he make his face shine on us. Now, stop there for a second. This is a common blessing for the people of Israel. Israel would have been praying this blessing over their houses, over their family, over their nation on a routine basis, if not daily. This was the great high priestly Aaronic prayer that Aaron delivered, and the people would have continued to deliver. This is a common blessing for undeserved favor, the mercy of God, the grace of God for their nation, that his hand of prosperity would be evident, that his presence would be part of the nation and the lives of those in Israel. That God would be the wind at their sail, in their sails, so to speak. That was the prayer. You know, and this is common. We pray these kinds of blessings in our lives too. Maybe we pray for God's blessing on our health, God's blessing on our family, our church, our finances, our career, our nation, right? We're asking for the blessing of God in our lives. We ask for the blessing of God on our food that we eat. We ask for the blessing of God on our sports teams. Please, God, bless the Eagles. Eventually, right? Obviously, somebody's praying that God would bless Villanova because they're kind of killing it right now. Right? We ask for God's blessing on our tests that maybe we didn't study hard enough for. Right? We always are asking for the blessing of God. And who wouldn't want the blessing of God, right? We all want God's blessing on our lives. Now, the psalmist, though, continues. Listen to what he says. Psalm 67:1, may God be gracious to us, bless us, make his face shine upon us, so that, what? So we can be happy? So we can be comfortable in this life? So that we can be worry-free? To have the easy life? No, that's not what he says. What does he say? He says, so that your ways may be known on the earth. Your saving power would be known among all nations. Do you see that? He's saying that the purpose of the blessing is not for you. The purpose of the blessing is to accomplish the mission of God around all nations. And friends, when we begin to understand that this is God's true purpose for our blessings in our life, man, it's a game changer. It changes how you think about your finances. It changes how you think about your career. It changes what you think about your church involvement, your knowledge of Scripture, your skill sets, right? Changes everything when we understand. God wants to use our blessings to accomplish his missions. And that's exactly what the psalmist is saying here. He's praying that God would bless Israel so that God's goodness and salvation would rise up like a geyser and kind of flood the surrounding neighbors, the nations around them, and go out to the ends of the earth. That God's presence would be seen among them. That as Israel looked to God for leadership, obeyed his commands, that God would respond in blessing them. And in doing so, the nations that surrounded them would look at this nation and say, wow, man, Israel has it going on. Israel's got it together. Clearly, their God is doing something special. The way they get along with each other, right? The way that they love one another, the way that they're able to feed others and help other people around them. Man, clearly, they have a real God, and they'd be drawn by the collar to come in and say, who is this God that you serve? That was the purpose. That was God's original intent for these blessings. And in the New Testament, we see something similar. Jesus, in the Sermon on the Mount, says basically the same thing. He's talking to the people, if you remember the Beatitudes, those who have been blessed. And he says this to those who have been blessed, linking the blessed life with the mission of God. Verse 14, you who are blessed are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand, and the light gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine out before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify God. It's the same idea. Jesus is telling those who have been blessed by God, you are like a city on a hill. The light is shining out from around you. And the blessings that God's given you, let those things shine around you. But see, friends, when we take the blessing of God and we use it for ourselves and we consume it ourselves, say, thank you for these blessings, God. I'm just going to use these for me. It's like the person who takes the lamp and they hide it under a bowl. Why would you do that? Instead, we are supposed to take that lamp and let it shine. Take the blessings that God has given us and let it shine. Friends, we have been blessed to be a blessing to others. And that is a key way in which we join the mission of God. We take the blessings God has given us and we choose to turn around and bless others. Now, you might be saying, well, Nate, I'm not really sure I have blessings. I look at my life and say, yeah, I'm not particularly rich. I'm not particularly skilled. Now, what do I have to bless anyone else with? Well, I'm glad you asked the question. Now, if you are a Christian, if you are in Christ, friends, you have been blessed, okay? You have tons of blessings. And just to show you one place where Scripture talks about, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3, says that God has blessed us with one blessing, half a blessing, every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. Every blessing. And then what Paul does is from verse 4 on, basically to the end of the chapter, he's just rattling off blessing after blessing after blessing. It's like, hey, just in case you don't believe me, let me tell you like a ton of different ways that you're blessed. He talks about their salvation. You're blessed because you've been given an inheritance, an eternal inheritance waiting for you. You've been given the Holy Spirit as a down payment, as a seal guaranteeing your inheritance. You've been lavished on you love and mercy, unconditional grace. You've been forgiven and set free. You've been adopted by God. You've been given power of the Holy Spirit to be used. We have every spiritual blessing at our fingertips. And so what Paul is saying here and what the Bible talks about is taking these blessings, the good news of salvation, you know, our inheritance, and taking that and turning it around and blessing others with it. Telling other people about the good news of salvation. The same grace and mercy and forgiveness that you've received, turning around and extending that to other people who need it. People who have hurt us deeply even, and saying in the same way that I've been forgiven by God, I want to extend that forgiveness to others. That's how you join the mission of God. Almost a year ago, there's a horrific event that happened here in the United States that really shocked our country. And I'm sure you remember it when I say it. And on June 17th last year, a mass shooting took place at Emmanuel AME Church in Charleston, South Carolina. It was during a Bible study. They invited in a young man at 21 years old who said he wanted to come with them. And his name was Dylan Roof. And he opened fire with a handgun and killed 9 people that day at this church. And I remember when it happened, it happened at a time where there was already so much racial tension. There still is, but it was really heated up at that point. And it was just shockwaves sent all throughout Charleston, all around the country. Just people are reeling over this. And as tragic as this event was, the reaction of the family members of the victims was unbelievable. It was a light on a hill kind of thing. Each of these family members were Christians. And at this young man's trial, they each stood up and they each extended him their forgiveness. One after one, I forgive you. One after one would say, I want to encourage you to repent. God is gracious and forgiving. He will forgive you. I forgive you. I forgive you. I forgive you. Around and around it went. And at the end of that, I mean, news outlets all over the place were just sending out this story. They just couldn't believe what had happened. I want to read to you one of those, just a short excerpt of one of those stories from the USA Today. The writer says this about this event. It was neither expected nor explicable, that forgiveness. Such forgiveness is unseen in the animal world. It's illogical in the rational world. It's nonsensical to common human nature. Such forgiveness is humanity at its most human, or perhaps its most divine. We have witnessed concentrated, unthinkable evil met by concentrated, undeserved forgiveness. In a world where evil can seem unstoppable, these families from Charleston have demonstrated that there is still hope. Not only in the good fight against racism, prejudice, and evil, but hope also in the good that overwhelms evil. I love that. What this author was saying is, I saw the good deeds, and I'm glorifying God. He might not even know that he's doing that, but that's exactly what he's doing. He realizes this is irrational. No human would do this. This has to be divine love. And see, these family members got it. See, they got it. That their blessings were not just for themselves. They took that forgiveness that they've been extended eternally from God, and they allowed it to overflow to the most undeserving of people. A manifestation of evil, if you would, and extended forgiveness. This is taking the blessings of God and turning it around on others, even in the midst of our worst fears, when our fears become a reality. Friends, we've been blessed with every spiritual blessing. How are we using those blessings? But it's not just the spiritual blessings. Certainly we have those, but we've been blessed with a lot of other things too, right? Family and finances. Many of us have been blessed with great education and understanding of Scripture. Many of us have been blessed by a network of relationships and influence that we have. We've been blessed with careers and skills and experiences of all kinds. You know, if we take all the people just here and at our 9 o'clock and we add up all the years and qualifications of experience, my goodness, we have unbelievable assets among us, unbelievable blessings among us. And yet, for some of us, there's a disconnect between those blessings and the mission of God. Author and pastor David Platt said this, "We come to Scripture and we see a radically different picture. We don't see Scripture describing Christianity as God loves me, put a period on it, smile, and go home. Instead, we see biblical Christianity saying God loves me so that his glory and his greatness and his mercy and his majesty may be made known among all the peoples of the earth. Our blessings are not about us." When I was an investment advisor in my former life now, I used to tell people all the time, hey, don't reinvest, or don't take out your dividends and capital gains and use them for yourself. Reinvest them, right? Reinvest those dividends and capital gains. Help it keep growing, right? The question I'd ask you is, how are you reinvesting the blessings of God to be used in the mission of God? How are you reinvesting those blessings in your life? I'm going to give you a few examples of ways that that can be done. You know, we come here week after week. You hear great sermons, right? You hear sermons. You can judge for yourself whether you think they're great or not. But at least we're in the Word, right? We're unpacking God's Word. Many of us are, in addition to that, we're in Bible studies. We're in Christian education classes. Some of us have a Christian education. We're in Christian schools. We're reading, you know, reading the Bible on our own and reading books about the Bible. Man, what a blessing. Do you realize you know more about the Bible than like 95% of the Christians out there? You go out on a foreign soil, you know what they say to me when I've been out on mission trips? Hey, can you just teach us how to study that Bible? We really don't understand it. They're hungry to sit there and just feed off of what we know. We have an embarrassment of riches of Bible understanding, let me tell you. How are we using those? How are we using those resources? How are we using our Bible knowledge? Are we hiding it? Saying, nah, I'm just going to fill up my mind, kind of keep it for myself? Or are we turning around and we blessing others with it? Who are you teaching? Who are you pouring into? Who are you mentoring? Who are you discipling? You know, you can use all of that you've learned, and you can go to Sunday Breakfast Mission downtown, and you can disciple and mentor somebody there. You can use what you've learned that day and bless their life with it. You can give them a verse that would encourage them. And there's students and youth in all kinds of programs. I mean, it's endless the opportunities that you would have to pour that knowledge out into other people. What about your skill sets and your work experience? There's people here that have incredible computer skills. Some of you are really handy. Maybe God has made you handy. He hasn't made me handy, but maybe he's made you handy. And you know how to fix just about anything. You know how to wire stuff, and you know plumbing, and you know carpentry and all that. Do you know how many people could use that help to be trained how to do that? How many missions organizations would love you to come and help them in that? How many people just out here in Wilmington and other missions would love to have your skill set helping out? Maybe, you know, that's not your thing, but you're just a really good listener. You know how to listen to people. You know how to empathize with people. Maybe God's broken your heart for women who are going through really tough times and broken experiences in their life. A great place for you to be used, volunteering with a ministry like Door of Hope Pregnancy Center. Working with many of these who are teenage girls, victims of rape. Maybe women who just haven't been educated, and now they're in a place and they're contemplating, they're scared to death, and they're thinking about aborting this child. And you can be that person to listen to them, show them the hope of Christ. Let them know that there's another way and save a child. Maybe even save a life through that. How are you using your blessings? There's another ministry here, a group of men, a ministry called SALT. And what these men do is they take their experiences in their careers, their Bible knowledge, their training, their education, and their financial blessings in life. And instead of saying, as you know, a group of retired or semi-retired guys, hey, you know what, we're just going to sort of kick back in this life of ease. You know, after all, we really worked hard our whole life. We're just going to kind of kick back in our rocking chair by the lake and enjoy the rest of these years. Instead, they say, no, that's not what we're going to do. That's not what we want for our life. We're going to take all of these things and just, you know, give away our life for the glory of God. And so they take their financial blessings and buy plane tickets and bless people in other countries, in places like Peru and places like the Ukraine and in Africa, all over the South America. And they teach and they train pastors and parishioners at these churches, training them how to study their Bible, training them theology, training them basic skills in business, being used, poured out for God. I can't think of a better way to use your retirement. You don't need to hop on a plane in Africa, though. You don't need to go to the bush of Africa or go to the Ukraine or go to Peru in order to make this connection. There's another ministry here that we support and we have people involved in called Global Media Outreach. And what they do, right from your laptop, You can connect to people all over the world who are asking questions about God, asking questions about Christianity, want to find out more, want to be disciple. And maybe there's not a good local church in their village or in their country or in their city. And you can be their mentor. You can be their discipler. And we have people here. That's what they do. Maybe some of them are, you know, in their bed on their pajamas. Missionaries. Right there. Online. Connecting to people. That ministry, I just talked to them last week. They're looking for about a dozen people who would be willing to commit themselves to being connected online and helping people who are asking these kinds of questions. I'd encourage you, go meet Ed and Simon and the rest of the team who runs that out in the gathering area. Go find out more information about that after the service. These are just a few examples. I mean, we can keep going, but I think that you get the idea. So you might ask, okay, that's like overwhelming. You just named like a ton of different ways. Where would I even start? Let me give you a couple of closing thoughts. One, first thing you should do, take an inventory of your blessings. Just get a sheet of paper, you know, go up on a Word doc and just start typing away or writing out, here are the ways I've been blessed. Talk about your family and your career and write blessings, spiritual blessings that you have. Skills, passions, right? And just fill up a page or two pages, however long it takes. Just fill it up. And then maybe for a week or two, just look at those blessings and pray and ask God, would you help me understand how you want to use these blessings to accomplish your mission? How do you want to use these blessings to accomplish your mission? And then what you do right after that is just seize the opportunities that come your way. Don't wait for something to smack you in the head and knock you over. As you start looking, look at that sheet and say, ah, this might connect with that. And pursue it. And see if God is opening a door to you. He'll open and close doors as he sees fit. That's how he works. God loves to steer a moving ship. Don't be sitting in the harbor waiting for something magical to happen. Start getting out there. Start getting used by God, and he will steer you to the next thing. We've been blessed to be a blessing to others. You know, as we go in to celebrate the Lord's Supper, communion table, I was reminded of a passage from Revelation chapter 5 and reminded and encouraged that God will complete his mission. He will complete his mission. He's going to use the church, but he will complete his mission. And the question is, will you be involved? Or will you be a bystander to that mission? And get to the end of your life and be like, wow, I wasn't a part of any of that. Or will you get in the game and say, yes, I want to be used for the mission of God? Revelation 5:9 says this, worthy are you to take the book and to break its seals, speaking of Christ, for you were slain and purchased for God with your blood men from every tribe and every tongue and every people and every nation. See, friends, the reason we can be a part of this mission of God is because Jesus Christ, his body was broken and slain, and because his blood was shed to take people from every tribe and nation and every color, every ethnic background, and unite them together under one banner, and that's the banner of Jesus Christ. There'll be a day when we'll look forward to not just eating in remembrance of what Christ has done, but we will be dining with him at the Lamb's Supper one day. We'll be eating. I don't know what we're going to have, but I'm sure it's going to be amazing. And as we're there, we're going to be surrounded by people who are speaking every language, every culture, singing one song, worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Take just a few moments before we go into the Lord's Supper. Think about that for yourself. And maybe you have some unconfessed sin in your life right now. There's that, you know, that there's a wall up between you and God. Take that time just to confess those sins. God's already forgiven you, but just to wipe that clean before you come to the Lord's Supper. Take that time and do that now. Jesus, you are worthy, and we are needy. Lord, we thank you that you died the death that we deserve. Lord, thank you that you shed your blood so that we wouldn't need to. And Lord, we look forward to the day where we will dine with you in eternity, saying, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive all glory and honor and power and strength and praise." We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to ask Bradley Ollick to come forward and bless our bread.